Abbey Road Records Show.
Heavy metal, rock and roll is always going to be with us. Day after day, year after year, it's never going to die.
Who likes rock and roll? Yeah!
Abbey Road Records Show.
Put down the boxing gloves and try and just get it together.
Well, hey, Laba! Once again, we are plumbing the depths of shabby shows of yore to find a few curios, a few treasures. Who doesn't love being exposed to one of AD's head-scratchers? Records that make you turn your head sideways and ponder, who would buy this? Why was this even made? What are the series of bad decisions that led to such an album to exist? That's right, everybody. It's time for Volume 2 of 80s Oddballs, and we're so glad you're here. First up, we go to Episode 42, titled, So, Who's Gonna Do the A&R Guy? For a band that allows me to share a little disdain for Jethro Tull, it's an episode recorded before my quote-unquote tulling, when I despised that band. Oh, I miss those days. In his mystery box on this show here, all the albums he had that night were all named after animals. Pretty interesting concept there. Then we're going to travel to episode 123, strangely titled Hermaphrodite Wrestling, for another oddball band that we have a blast discussing. All right, well, before we get our freak flags out, let's show some love to our friends over at alltheworldsastage.net. They do merch, any kind of merch you can dream up. And, you know, with the holidays right around the corner, now is the time to make sure that your project has enough merch to satisfy your rabid fan base. They've got money and you want it. Become one with your inner Gene Simmons and sell, cause coffee is for closers. Visit our friends for Gene-friendly prices and the opposite of Vinnie Vincent customer service. Yeah, they're on top of your project the whole way, unlike Mr. Cusano. So click on over to alltheworldsastage.net and tell them that AD's Oddballs sent you. All right, let's kick back and enjoy some weirdness.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Okay, AD, get us out of here. What do you got in your mystery box this evening?
I have got our first little trip to the zoo here, the British zoo, if you will. I've brought a band that came out. This album came out on Island Records in August of 1969. It's a song called It's Only Love. This album that it was on, called A Head Rings Out,
Okay.
Was produced by Andy Johns. Now, Andy Johns' production credits run deep.
Oh, my goodness.
Humble Pie, Gary Wright, Free, Jack Bruce, Television, Rod Stewart, Ronnie Woods, Cinderella, Van Halen.
I'd have left Cinderella off that.
But just, you know, just as far as he made some dough, right? L.A. Guns, Steve Miller, Eric Johnson, Chickenfoot. Even currently, he's still working.
Still doing it.
So, yeah. 69, and now he's doing it still with Chickenfoot. That's pretty cool. This album came out in 69. Then engineering, he engineered bands like Stones, of course, Zeppelin, Spooky Tooth, Joni Mitchell. Hope she gets better. She's in the hospital now.
I want to say, and I don't want to turn this into a Robert Stigwood moment, but didn't Andy Johns recently pass away?
Sure, okay. Andy Johns is dead.
But this you're really going, great. Now you're just going for the shabby award.
I want
next
the
year.
Award, yeah. I've tasted one. I've tasted the nectar.
And it is good.
Sleek feel.
So
those
good to win.
Trophies, golden plastic in my hand. But he engineered Mott the Hoople, if you recall, right? So yeah,
the Island stuff,
yes,
right?
Right, exactly.
The Island, yeah.
So anyway, this band was formed by a guy named Mick Abrams. It probably won't mean anything to you,
mm-mm.
Which is good. This is going to be more fun this way.
Okay, Mick Abrams.
No. Anybody out here who knows who Mick Abrams is going, dude, really? Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, no.
He's a main songwriter, vocalist, and guitar player. In 1968, he had just split with a band. He did their first album, and that album actually was released a year earlier, went to number 10 in the UK charts, and he still quit that band. This was their first album, and it came out simultaneously, almost to the day, when his former band's second album came out, and they sold equally. They, you know, One record went a little higher in the charts, but this they as far as numbers, pretty much even. So
you know they were reading that paper every week to see.
Yeah. So anyway, I brought Blodwyn Pig. Now the band. I got the Blodwyn Pig.
Look at that cover. It's a pig with sunglasses on.
And headphones.
And headphones. He's rocking. He looks cool.
And a nose ring and a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah.
The band I'm talking about that he quit would be one Jethro Tull, Ryan.
Oh, I can't blame him for that.
He finished recording Jethro Tull's first album, This Was, which was released in October 1968. And then he and Ian Anderson just didn't see eye to eye. We don't agree musically. We shan't work together again.
They didn't see eye to flute.
Ass to flute, if you will. So, So, yeah, you know, Ian kind of wanted to get a little harder edged and more current, and Mick Abrams kind of wanted to stay more folksy, bluesy, more stripped down, if you will. So, on the second album that Tull put out in September 69, which is Stand Up, Mick Abrams was replaced then by the incomparable Martin Lancelot Barr on guitar, and you know I love that guy.
You know I like him too.
I know
actually.
You do, yeah. But anyway, this album is equally jazzy as it is psychedelic. They go into folky blues, heavy rock, blues style rock. This album is all over the place, and I chose track one because it is so Roy Wood and Wizard, and it reminds me of when. You know, Jeff Lynne and Eric Bloom, I was going to say.
Jeff Lynne.
Jeff Lynne and Roy Wood. I don't know, Eric Bloom. Yeah.
You got Blue Oyster Cult.
They were probably drinking somewhere. But they did their split, you know, and this kind of reminded me of that, you know, where both bands kind of did okay. This song, I'm going to choose It's Only Love, which is side one, track one. It is loaded with the saxophone of Jack Lancaster. Now, Jack Lancaster does sax, violin, and there's flute on this album, Ryan McKay.
Ugh.
Yeah, you know.
Extraordinary.
But they had the luxury of having eight tracks at their disposal. Now, in 1969, a lot of bands didn't have eight tracks. So instead of having to hire a horn section, Jack Lancaster, he goes, I'll play all the parts. Because
nice.
They had the extra tracks and they bounced them down.
Cool.
This is a bombastic foray right up Wizard's Alley. This is so cool. Track one, they get right off to a ripping start. Andy Pyle on bass. Now, Andy Pyle ended up with, he went on to play with Savoy Brown, Wishbone Ash, and the Kinks.
Mm.
So,
wow.
But after their second, they came out with a second record. In 1970, it's called Getting to This, came out on Chrysalis Records, which ironically is Tull's label.
Oh.
How weird is that, right? And it reached number 8 in the UK. But they released two more albums, one in 93.
93?
And 96, but they don't count. It's kind of like the New York Dolls. They don't count.
So they did two records.
They did two records, period.
Came back 20 years on, did two more.
They just did two records.
Okay, so I'm with you. Okay.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
They just did two records. And anyway, after the second record came out in 1970, they actually put both records out in 1970, one in January and then one in December of 70. Abrams just, after that, he just quit. He was like so disillusioned. He's like, fuck the music business. This is bullshit. I guess he didn't make any money. And
plus he's watching Jethro Tull rise to fame and fortune, right? That can't.
Where's my codpiece?
That's gotta suck.
I will need a codpiece. So anyway, I'm gonna play track one, side one. It's Only Love, and this is a bombastic number, man. They come banging right out of the chute. So anyway, here we go. Ryan McKay, drop that dino.
Will do.
Yeah.
Blodwyn Pig.
I loved that. That was awesome.
Dude, this whole record's that good. It's great. It's a great record. Ooh. Every song is different, though. They, like I said, they get heavy, they get psychedelic, they get real folky, bluesy, but it's all good. It's really good. The production's good. Andy Johns did a great job on their production.
Mm-hmm.
I love this record. I highly recommend this record to anybody. Ryan, I just go ahead and automatically buy it. You should borrow this, though, definitely.
I will be borrowing that tonight, for sure.
But on the back, it features some great... liner notes written by Mick Abrams himself in London, August 1969. And about this song, he writes, "It's Only Love features a heavy brass sound, two tenors, one baritone, and one soprano, to be exact, which drives the whole thing along steadily. Has an interesting solo on soprano and tenor, played simultaneously and together by Jack, who arranged the parts and played all of the aforementioned instruments by dubbing the parts over the initial track, thus creating the overall effect of a small brass section. The main reason for this being is we couldn't afford session men, and Jack is silly enough to do anything you tell him. Like the time we had him take his trousers off in Piccadilly. But never mind. He's out again and playing some fine music." There you go.
There you go.
The cheeky British, you know, liner notes. And I think it's great. Great album. A Blodwyn Pig, A Head Rings Out. And it's a monster.
Yeah, that sounded great. I mean, definitely some B.B. King influence in there.
Yes.
In the vocal and in the guitar and stuff. Yeah. I dug that. I'm looking forward to checking out the rest of that little gem.
You should definitely.
Gem.
I'll put it over here for you, buddy. I found this record the other day at the Record Room.
You would love that store.
Love that store.
Love it when you come walking in there.
Well, I find these records that are like, I don't know what they... How many... I've discovered some really cool shit lately.
Yes, you have.
And add this to the list and put this maybe up near the top of the list. This band falls dead center into the airbag list as far as perhaps not being the most fortuitous choices of a band name.
Oh, horrible band names.
Yes, indeed. Now, found this little bundle of joy. I'd heard the name before. Years ago, just heard the name in passing, but it tweaked no interest of me, but had never heard any of their stuff, never seen any of their albums, and I ran into it and I went, okay, and then suddenly I was oddly attracted to the band's name, and it's a band called Bull Angus. Right?
Oh, God. Just when I thought you couldn't find a worse name than Toe Fat.
Or Airbag.
I know why
you
were attracted
to that
name.
Okay, look. No. Now, look, peruse this album cover. This is fantastic. The artwork is really, really cool, dude, right? So open it up. It's a gatefold. Look at the whole thing. It's, other side, front and back. Yeah, like that. Like you would do with Nursery Crime. Yeah, there you go.
Just open it up. Okay, so it's a bull is being constructed by the townspeople.
A giant bull, almost like the, Trojan horse type thing on a wheeled platform.
And it's on a platform wheel.
But under it, there's a little mini city, like those little rugs you get your kids with looks like, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Kind of bizarro. But anyway, dude, but then you open it up and I fell in love with that. And then I looked at the dudes in the band. Cool enough, right? Early 70s dudes.
Yeah, they look like they could be Steppenwolf.
Kind of, yeah. Sitting and standing up. Plenty of long hair, sideburns, you know, everywhere. Cool clothes.
Bell bottoms.
Yeah, a couple of hippie mustaches. You know, not one, but two Don Brewer afros. So far, so good, right?
Right, yeah. Lots of afros.
Now, look at some of the song titles. No Cream for the Maid. Miss Casey. Mother's Favorite Lover, Margaret, and Uncle Doogie's Fun Bus Ride.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sold. Take my $8, man. I brought this fucker home. Dude, I brought this home. This little $8 gamble, I'm telling you, Ryan, you know this, Liz, anybody who's listening who collects records, every once in a while you have to you go, I'm buying this, you know? And
Yeah, I'll take a chance on this.
And this was... this one paid off in spades. This is a fucking great record. This is like City Boys album, like Dinner at the Ritz. Good.
Oh, wow.
Where I just fell in love with it right away. It's fun. It's funky. It's hard rocking. It's got Three Dog Night harmonies. It's going to remind you of Deep Purple, Uriah Heep. Like I said, early Three Dog Night. You mentioned Steppenwolf. It's got some Steppenwolf vibe in there, but not the Magic Carpet Ride. Blah, 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 blah. Steppenwolf 7, Fat Jack era.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were Chris Gow, I would make a bunch of big, like, worded, backhanded remarks, pepper in a bit of pseudo disdain, and give it a B minus. But I'm no Bobby Crisco, and I'm here to say that that damn Bull Angus album is at least a B plus, if not an A minus. It's a phenomenal, fun record. Like I said, they made two, came out in, like I said, on Mercury, 71. So, but now there's a lot of shit on the internet. There's midget porn. There's hermaphrodite wrestling. There's bonjovi.com. There's some horrible shit out there, right? But I gotta say, seriously, there's not a lot of shit on Bull Angus. Trust me on that.
Bull Angus.
Bull Angus. So, okay, I found out they're from Poughkeepsie. They got together around 67, 68-ish in that area. They did these. Somehow they got signed to Mercury. They did these two albums, did nothing, that was that. So Frankie, now this guy Frankie, the lead singer, Frankie, what's his last name? Frankie Previt, P-R-E-V-I-T-E, or Previti, or, Previte, or Previte? I think it's Previt, though, relocated to New Jersey, and this is like 70, they lasted until like 72.
That was
this
it.
Album came out in 70, yeah, 72, 73 maybe. Mm-hmm. This Frankie guy moves to New Jersey where he forms a little band called Frankie and the Knockouts.
That I've heard of.
Right. Now, yeah, they were some big deal in the 80s, but, you know, from what I understand, I couldn't name any of their songs because it was an 80s thing.
Well, I've heard the name.
Right. They did some shit. And everybody who's into the 80s are screaming right now going, yeah, blah, blah, that I was so coked out at, you know. But they were a big deal in the 80s. So what's even more disturbing is that our hero, Frankie, also went on, after Frankie and the Knockouts, to become the co-writer of the soundtrack to 1987's monster classic movie that I can proudly boast that I've never seen. And that movie is Dirty Dancing. Yes, indeed. Frankie Previt co-wrote, I had
the time of my life.
Right?
I owe it all to you.
So,
I hate that movie.
Right? So, I mean, is that maybe not one of the 80s most defining songs?
It's a big 80s
it's
moment.
It's up there, right, right. But so, you know, anyway, the whole out, and it's so not that. This is rock, and it's early 70s. The band's killing it. One reviewer wrote, this is not a cerebral recording, but it's good, solid rock, and it's best enjoyed with maximum volume and a wee buzz. So I'm in. Where's my lighter? Ryan, let's play side one, track three, Uncle Doogie's Fun Bus Ride.
Well, let's see what happens on this bus ride.
This is a great, dude, this is an awesome song. You're going to be hooked, I promise. Bull Angus.
Straight
Well, that's a great tune. Right? I love that song.
Fucking Bull Angus. They got their name because they used to rent out this farmhouse in Poughkeepsie, near Poughkeepsie, which is like if you go straight north from New York City to Albany, it's halfway there, sort of the northern end of the Poconos, the Hudson Valley area. And they were renting out a farmhouse, and they were totally surrounded by Angus beef farms.
And, oh, really?
And one of the barns, you know, barns said beef, or yeah, bull, Angus. I guess they kept the bulls, Angus bulls, in one barn. And I don't know the fucking, what do I know about cows, but heifers or whatever the fuck, yeah, and the other one or whatever. And yeah.
There you go.
So Uncle Doogie's Fun Bus Ride.
Was that, we determined that that was a Fender Rhodes electric piano with a wah-wah pedal on it during the solo.
Sure sounded like it.
That's what it sounded like in here.
Some really cool shit.
It's awesome. Yeah,
but that's one of their two albums, Bull Angus. That was from their debut album. And I am so excited to get their next album. There's their second and only other album, but man, it's really cool. The band did nothing, but the history behind the dude going on to write. Now, he didn't write the song. The drummer and the two guitar players actually wrote it. This guy was the lead singer. But still, it's funny that that's his. This something so cool as this.
Wow.
Is that guy's roots, man.
His guitar player was like, really? That guy is like a multi-gazillionaire now?
And this guy
I'm working at that freaking meat rendering plant.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, where we used to rehearse. I'm chopping them beefy.
Slaughtering the bulls.
Yeah. Hey, guys. A portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is brought to you by alltheworldsastage.net. For all your bands and company merchandise needs, click on alltheworldsastage.net and never pay screen charges for orders of more than 24 items. There are no PMS or flash charges either. alltheworldsastage.net.